Today is our first Sunday in March, and we're going to talk about idolatry this month and the way back. The whole point of the month is the idolatries that we have in our life, because all of us have them, and they're things that we should be dealing with in our life, and the way back to God. Now, the first Sunday in March is a very important day in our relationship. Who remembers what the first Sunday in March is in our relationship together here as a church? Anybody? First day of work? It was the first Sunday that I ever came to speak to you was the first Sunday in March 2 years ago. 2 years ago today, I stood up here and gave you a message that I'd have to look back in my files to remember what it was, but that's when things all kind of started with us. I'm not sure that after 2 years I know anymore what I'm supposed to be doing. I consciously see things that I'm not doing that I wish I was doing, so maybe that's the right process in becoming a pastor. I don't know. But I think one of the things that I want to lead you in is dealing with the idolatries that are acceptable within our culture and our Christian society. The bottom line factual reality is in our generation, in our society, the same as in Israel's society when Jesus walked the day, and the same things that we read about as we finished the book of Numbers this morning in our Old Testament reading, the same things that they wrestled with, you and I wrestle with. And we need to be constantly dealing with them. So on March 5th, we're going to look at Mark 10, 23 through 27, and the title of the message is With God All Things Are Possible, and the diagram we're going to cover on your notes is the wide and the narrow gates. So, meet me in the Bible in Mark. If you want to open your Bibles to Mark 10, that's cool. If you want to just look at it on the PowerPoint, that's awesome. Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." Now, just previously in Mark, we looked at the testimony of the rich young ruler. And Jesus challenging him to sell all of his stuff and give it to the poor. Jesus loved that boy. He had a really good heart. But at that point in his life, he couldn't do it. Now, I have the sneaky suspicion or the conscious reality that at a different point in his life, he did. He couldn't do it that day, but I bet, I don't know if preachers are supposed to bet, but I bet that when we get to heaven, he'll be there, and at some point in his life, he repented, and he did give it all. Anyway, it's hard for wealthy people to get into the kingdom of God. As Kent and I were in the part of New Orleans that we lived in, we lived in the north part of the French Quarter for several days, and it is not like Midwest down there. It's poor people. We lived among the poor people. And you, literally walking down the street on the way to work in the morning at 7 o'clock, you'd have to walk around the garbage that's piled up in the street. And it's not from Katrina. It's just normal living down there. And Sam and I would always smile because there was right across the street from the Castle Rock Church was a Baptist church, and there was a black preacher in there, and at 7 o'clock in the morning, he was lit up and cranked up, and he was preaching. He was preaching hard at 7. I mean hard, loud, emotional, convicting. 7 o'clock in the morning, he's preaching, and Sam and I looked at each other, and we both wanted to sneak over and a peek in the door and just to see who all was in there, but the conscious reality was he'd preach that hard if no one showed up. Because that's what he's called to do, is to preach. It's hard for wealthy people to get into the kingdom, and Sam and Kent and I all realize that we're really wealthy people. In comparison to the rest of the world, in comparison to the people who live in the French Quarter of New Orleans, we're very wealthy people. 90% of the people who go to Castle Rock Community Church live on $250 a week. That's what they get. $1,000 a month, gross. And they live on that. I spend that much on gas in a week, you know? No, Julie says, no, no. But anyway. Yeah, this week we did. Wait till Lori gets those credit card bills. Anyway, go back to the Bible with me. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered and said to them, children, how hard it is to get into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The bottom line reality for you and I who live in Midwestern America is we are rich people, and based on this text, it's going to be a challenge for us to deal with our materialism in relationship to the kingdom of God. That's where this is all going. Now, is that literally the eye of a sewing needle, or is it one of the small entryways to the city of Jerusalem? There was a small gate into the city of Jerusalem. It was a doorway that was called the eye of the needle, and it was small enough that a man carrying a pack would have to take his pack off to get through the door. You'd take your bundle of merchandise and you drag it behind you to go through the eye of the needle, to go through the wall, and then you get into the city. Or a camel, if it would take off all of its carryings and get down, it could actually get through there, but it was a challenge because it had to kind of do a duck walk like this, you know, in order to get through there. But it could get through, but it was difficult. And it could not get through if it had any of its burden on it. And I think the point of the story is not a literal sewing needle, but it is that gate that you and I must humble ourselves, must give up the possessions that we carry in order to get through that door. We must be willing to surrender everything to get through. They were even more astonished and said to him, then who can be saved if rich people can't? Look at him, Jesus said, with people it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible with God. As you read through Bill Gillum's book with me this month, that is one of the constant themes that Bill will present, that God and Jesus Christ can make this possible. So, some hard questions. Is it hard for some people to get into the kingdom of God? Obviously, by that text, people who have money, it's hard for them to get into the kingdom of heaven. Can man do it on his own? Can I be perfect and make it on my own? Based on that rich young ruler doing way better than I ever have and him unwilling to send, I probably can't. Maybe you can, but I don't know of anybody who can. Is it possible for God to do it? And I wholeheartedly say yes. Amen. It is possible for God to do it, but not us. So, how many get in and how many don't get in? Those are questions we need to ask. Here's a parallel passage from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. There's the point of Jesus' message. What does it say? Enter through the narrow gate, semicolon, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter through it. So there's a wide gate that leads to destruction, and many people go that direction. Now the next verse, 14, the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are they that find it. So, enter through the narrow gate. There's a wide gate that leads to destruction, and many people go that way. There's a small gate that leads to life, and few people find that. So let me build this diagram for you. Here you see that, and can you see where I came up with a diagram? A wide gate that leads to a narrow gate, and then there's a gate that's small that leads to life. And you see how these two fit together? It leaves that small little hole in it that's right at the foot of the cross, and the point of the diagram is that small entryway. When you look at your diagram on your outline on the back of your bulletin, this is a simplistic drawing of this complex diagram. But in order to get the point, I wanted to do it very simply. This is your diagram. And you can see on there, if you start over here at the left side, that the ways of the world, the ways of Satan, the ways of the flesh are easy at first. John 10:10 tells us that the thief devil comes to rob, to kill, and destroy our lives. And it's easy to get involved with that at the beginning. Your life begins to get hard, and you'll end up at a point of living death, continuing in that pattern. And many people are stuck in that cycle. They're burdened down by all the things they own, all the problems with people, all the struggles in life, and they are unable or unwilling to humble themselves and go through that small gate at the foot of the cross. Because the reality is, to enter into the kingdom of God, you must forsake everything, humble yourself, and go through that small gateway. It is as small as my body. Jesus was probably not any bigger than I am. In the cultural time, in the Jewish heritage, this is about the body size of Jesus Christ. It's not big. They weren't big in those days. To get into this kingdom of heaven, we must be willing to go through a doorway that is cramped for me to get through. It's a small, all eternity leads to what Jesus Christ did on the cross. To get there, you must humble yourself, you must forsake all, and throw all of your trust in the grace and the faith that Jesus has put before you. And it's hard to do that. It's hard to give up all that there is in life. It is possible. Marilyn and Kent could testify that at one point in my life, I gave away everything that I owned, put my house up for sale, and took off searching for the Christian life. What happened is, I sold my house 3 times, got it back each time, and all I got was the earnest money out of the deal, and ended up back in this place that Julie is still ready to leave, and the Lord and I just somehow haven't got out of there. But at one point in time, we gave it all up and walked away. Now, it's hard to do that, but I can honestly tell you that when your life is completely surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ in grace through faith for salvation and in repentance and forsaking of the material things, it's hard to do that. But on the other side, when you get through that little gate, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ begins at that small point, but it expands out. And it becomes very easy and very light to live life that way. And I don't ever want to go back to the hard, dark side. But the reality of my life is that I can hook around, that the world, the flesh, and the devil can get my attention, and I can end up back to where life is hard. And when I get there, I find myself coming back to the cross, and the forces of nature, or the forces of God, whatever you want to call them, force me down to that small point where I deeply desire to forsake all those things, give them all up, and again experience the easy, light life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of those scripture texts that I put on that outline underneath of them, as you look at them, you can see Matthew 13, Matthew 14, and all of this is described in Romans chapter 8. And I encourage you to take these Bible verses in our breakout sessions and begin to look at them, because there is a wonder to this life that Jesus offers it, but it's free from all the loves and the lusts and the challenges of the world. Kent and I met a guy who gave up everything to go down and serve these hopeless people. His name's Paul. I'll tell you more about him in a couple weeks. But he literally gave up everything. He had this wonderful plan. He had a really nice lumber yard out in by Primgar, Iowa, and I'd seen it, and he was wealthy and had a lot of stuff. And when God called him to the poor people of New Orleans, he went back and had this great idea. We'll sell our lumber yard, and I'll be a self-supporting missionary. 3 years later, he just closed the doors and gave all the stuff away and became someone who raises support, lives off the grace and the wonder of God to give his life away to the poor people of New Orleans. And his life is just a glowing testimony. I said, "Do you miss the old days?" He said, "You know what I really miss is the creativity of building kitchens. The creativity of having at your disposal all these things to build these wonderful homes and these magnificent floor plans." He says, "I miss the creativity, but I don't miss anything else of that life." And he's down living in the slums, just two blocks from this church, in the midst of the muck and the mire of the hopelessly messed up and deprived people. And the freedom that he has in his life is admirable. You and I can experience that in Cornfield County, in the midst of our community. But it requires you and I to enter by the narrow gate, and it requires you and I to forsake our love for idolatry. It requires us to give up our love for the stuff and the projects, and to be focused on God and people more than the rest.